Are you ready for something totally different? This is not going to be your ordinary spiritual warfare teaching. So if you've come to learn anything about demons, let me settle it now. I'm not going to talk about that type of stuff. It's about where do you start? So if we look at today, it actually says, where do you start? So it's going to be right at the beginning. We're going to start at Genesis. Now, if you do a study of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and you've got that in your pocket, you will understand the rest of the Bible. But the study to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, really in its core, it will take you close to 3, 4, 5 years. Just be relaxed. I'm not going to give you demons names. I'm not going to tell you how to take hold of any demons. I'm going to tell you, where do you start with spiritual warfare? And then you'll see that there's a follow-up on this, the tree of knowledge. It's actually a follow-up on this. Then we start again at Genesis, but Genesis 2, verse 17. We're going to start this morning at Genesis 1, 26. We will slowly but surely go through the Bible. So I just want to bring that right in the beginning. I am a little bit controversial, so I'm going to stretch your theology a little with Scripture. If you don't agree with me, that is okay. You don't need to agree with everything I'm saying. Because that is how God made us. You're at a different place where I am at the moment. So where you are, you will hear the Scriptures that is for you. If you miss something, it's okay. That's why I didn't give slides, because if God takes me into a different direction, I want to be open today to follow the different directions. But most of it is Scripture. Let's open with prayer. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you've done on the cross. That you've said you've carried everything. That we stand in victory. And that we are living with you because you said you're alive again. Thank you that we are the only religion on earth that worships a living God. Thank you for that life, for that grace, for that spirit that is with you, that is inside of us, and we are inside of you. And this morning, while we're here, let every word that is from your heart stuck in each person's heart and spirit. But those words that's not from you, let it just pass by, so that they will only be impregnated with the word of the living God. God, don't let them be impregnated with my thoughts and my opinion, but let them be impregnated with your love and your peace. And thank you that you will keep each mind in your hand, each spirit is in your hand, this time is in your hand. And thank you. Thank you that we can just rest in peace in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. If we look at spiritual warfare, in where does it start? Many people is fighting from a position from earth. If you study any war, you actually study your enemy to see where they are coming from. And if we don't understand where Satan is coming from or where this warfare is coming from, we will always fight from a position of the earth. We need to realize that we are actually kingdom citizens and that we are fighting from the throne room. And I'm going to prove to you today that you are actually spirit man. So some of you that walked the road with me already know some of this. Some of you, it's going to be something totally different. But let's start with Genesis 1. I promised you that we're going to start right at the beginning. We're going to start in the beginning, we're going to jump to the end, and then we're going to come back to the beginning. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So often when we look at image and likeness, we think it's the same word. If you look at the Hebrew word, it's got two different meanings. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. What is the image? The image is what God is made of. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. So if you are made in the image of God, you are spirit. And if you understand that you are spirit, you will know how to fight a warfare. Because often we fight a warfare from out of our minds instead of our spirits. The word likeness means the moral standard of God. That is the basic Hebrew word for likeness. So there is an image inside of you. You are spirit. And Adam and Eve was made in the likeness. So they were spirits. Your spirit connects you with the spirit world. Your soul connects you with the world and its intelligence. And your body connects you to the earth. If you don't have a body, you cannot stay on earth. We've got the legal right to let you go. So inside of us, we are spirits. And we need to get our spirits to be outside of it. So you are made in the image. You are spirit. And the moment you can grasp that, the rest will be easy. And then he says, he made them in the image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So male and female is spirit. What's interesting, if you look at the basic meaning of the word, God formed woman out of the man. that actually in that Hebrew it says she grew out of him and became separated. That is the basic word when God made Eve out of Adam. So Adam had everything inside of him. He wasn't satisfied with that all inside of him. And God had to make him a partner. Exactly like he is. So God took certain principles, certain moral standards, and put it inside the woman. And they set certain moral standards inside of the man. That is why they need to come in unity to bring the moral standards in perfect balance to protect the children and the next generation. You are spirit. Image, you are in the image. You are spirit, just like God is spirit. Now, what's interesting, God made us in his image and his likeness. But when you read Genesis 5 verse 3, it says, Adam lived 130 years, then fathered a son in his likeness, according to his moral standard. So your children is the offspring of your moral standard. Because you stay image, you stay spirit. But a father and mother needs to form a new unit and lay down a moral standard for the child. And a child up to the age of 7 lives from out of his spirit. So the first 7 years of a child's life, you implant as a parent the moral standards that was inside of you, inside of that child. And that child will live according to that moral standards. Unless that child makes a very conscious decision to live something else. So if there is some spiritual things that you struggle with, go and look at your life and what is the moral standard that has been implanted that is the foundation in your life. Because if your foundation in your spirit is warped, you're going to struggle to have victory later on in life, in your spirit, because your spirit has absorbed a moral standard that you will function with later on in life. That is why you need not only psychological ministry, but you also need spirit ministry, so that God can change that foundation that is implanted in you, where the moral standard was warped, that it was not correct. That is why you need somebody to help you to minister directly into your spirit. And that is often why people struggle to be victorious, because they don't realize that the immorality that is in their spirit is actually causing them trouble later on in life. Because that moral standard comes from your parents, and that is being pulled through the generations. And the parents need to form a new moral standard. So you are spirit, and inside of your spirit, there is a moral standard. That is how God made us. So Adam brought forth according to his likeness after his image. It's a broken image. That is why Jesus came to earth and said, I want to restore the spiritual aspect on earth. So your moral standard has been compromised, as well as your spiritual outlook. So how did that spirit come into man? And this is something that you need to understand this morning if you want to be victorious. God hovered over the earth in Genesis 1 verse 2. And nothing changed on earth. God can hover over you and you will not change. If you look at Israel, at the foot of Mount Zion, God came down with thunder and lightning, but they still built a golden calf. The glory of God will not change you unless you allow that glory to speak into your spirit. So what does people do when they're in trouble? They start to run around and look for people to help them in their spiritual warfare. And they don't allow God to speak into their spirits to bring a change. If God is inside of you and you allow him to flow out of you, you will know what is the word and the breath for that season, for those circumstances. For example, you can struggle with poverty and you take hold of poverty the whole time. But the seasonal attack is spirit of destruction. But because you identify poverty in your life, you keep on fighting against a food soldier and you wonder why there's no breakthroughs. It's because you're not moving from out of your spirit into the spiritual realm where the throne of God is to get the seasonal word for now. And because you don't have that seasonal word, you struggle and you keep on going down. It's only when you can move from where you are into the throne room, find the seasonal word and command it from out of the throne room, you will start to have victory. That will mean you will have a breakthrough, not only for yourself, but for a group of people. Why? Because you've got the word for this season. Just like apples and oranges is in different seasons. Need both fruits, but for different seasons. In the same way, God is giving you a word for a different season. So what happened here? God hovered over the earth. His spirit was there. Nothing happened. And he spoke. So what happens? The breath of God came from out of him through his vocal cords into the atmosphere. And then something happened. And he spoke everything into existence, except mankind. Why didn't he speak you into existence? Because he said, you've got the power and authority on this earth. And that is why he made mankind. So that I can have authority on earth. So what happened? He made this clay form from dust. And then he blew his breath into you. So what happened when he blew his breath? He placed his rhythm, his word, his fullness inside of you. So your spirit is supposed to function with God's spirit, to be in line with the same word, the same wisdom, the same knowledge, and the same rhythm. And the moment you are in line with God's rhythm, you will know what is the season that's now. Because when Satan fell out of heaven, he corrupted all the rhythms on this earth. Music notes is divided by 11, no matter what the note is. It's a broken note. The University of Harvard has made studies. If you are in perfect peace with yourself, the rhythm in your body is 5.83 hertz. 5 grace, 8 new beginnings, 3 is unity. If you are out of rhythm, it's 6.66 hertz. People, it's scientific studies. Because inside of you is the music and the breath and the rhythm of God. And he placed that inside of you the day when you were created. So if your thoughts are wrong, if your words are wrong, you change the rhythm and then you cannot hear God properly. It's like somebody playing a piano, classic music, and somebody else is training on a violin. If you try to combine those two and then be okay with it, when you try to change your radio, the radio sequence, what happens if you're not on the station? And then sometimes you get a word and sometimes not. And often that is what's happening in our spirits. We're trying to change the radio station and we think we hear God says that. And we think God says that because we hear the world say this and we hear the pastor say this and we hear this testimony. And it's all the time. And then you say, okay, let's just try something. And you wonder why you're still fighting. Because you're not in tune with God's spirit. You cannot hear clearly what is the word for now. The moment you've got the word for now, you will speak it like as in a radio station, and everybody, because your spirit, everybody in the spirit needs to react to that, because you release the word, the power, the authority into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere must change. See, we want to put God in a box and say, for this, this will work, for that, that will work, and we don't pick up the seasonal change. Where did I learn that? I visited my brother in Belgium. And it was very interesting. I was there 2-3 times now. And we did studies the first time. And we picked up a lot of things. And we did a lot of prayer there. I don't do warfare there. Somebody needs to take responsibility. When I got back there 2 years later, something changed in the atmosphere. And I said to them, what is it? And we were wondering. And then God just brought the information to us. There is a bell there that every hour it gives you the indication what's the time. But it also plays a little song. And every 2 years, they change the song. Those songs that they play in the bell, in the tower, is the bell that they use to program satanic ritual abuse people. So I could have stepped in with the first warfare stuff, and I would have got hurt. But when we stepped in, I realized, walk by, there's a change. But I came from another country, and I stepped into Belgium. And as I stepped in, my whole spirit just shook. And I wonder, what is it? And I stood still for a second, and I went inside, and God says, it's a different spirit. And I could actually feel it in my spirit. If you are in tune with God, you will pick up the sequence and the vibration in the spirit, and then God will give you the wisdom of what to speak into that situation. But because we are not in tune, our spirit is not in the breath of God, and not in line with the breath of God, we miss the seasons. And we use wrong words, and that is when you hear the word, I've got a backlash. A backlash is when you've got the wrong word at the wrong time. Do you understand how we miss the seasons and then we struggle? Where if you just stay still and say, God, I want to come in line with your word, then you will speak a word and it will change. I've seen it over and over again. One of the most amazing things with spiritual in-tuneness was when I was in Yemen in 2010. I was ministering to a lady. She could speak English very well. But when somebody goes through their emotional pain, they go back to the language that the pain happened in. They cannot speak the language that they've been taught. They suppress themselves in the language the pain was in. And she all of a sudden started to speak a different language. And I thought, God help. And as I call out, her words were from her spirit. And God said, listen through your spirit. And I could understand every word she was saying. And I could minister to her. Every word. That is when you start to listen spirit to spirit. Now, every one of you came in here. Some of you know me, some of you don't know me. Within the first 10 to 15 seconds, you already made a summary of everybody through your spirit. Why? Because your spirit never sleeps and your spirit is very sensitive. So some of you would have had some experiences there. It's called the gut feeling. And your gut feeling is your spirit. And you don't understand what is happening there because your spirit and your brain is not communicating with one another. So there's no words to explain what you're feeling. If there is a connection, you will have that sensation right there. When the Spirit of God starts to flow through you from inside out, sound will come forth. The person that gave their life to Satan, what happens? The moment they speak, it's darkness. But if you are allowing the Lord God to flow through you, John 7 verse 38 and 39 says, streams, not one stream, streams, different streams of water will flow through you as the Spirit of God enters. It's not only one stream. And we always get stuck to, oh, I'm a prophet. No, I'm an apostle. Now, why do you stop God to just flow through one stream in your life? Let the fullness, the streams of God flow through. Then you can change atmospheres as you go. As the Spirit of God will flow through you, sound will come forth. And if you are in tune with God, the breath of God will flow through you. You will speak word. And what does the scripture say? No, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. So what is in your mouth is actually what's in your heart. And you change the atmosphere according to your heart spirit, not according to what you think. How many times have you and somebody had a fight? And it is as if the two of you just cannot understand one another. You just cannot hear. Why? Because you're trying to understand what the person is saying through your mind and not through your spirit. Let me give you a biblical example of that. John 3. Nicodemus came to God, to Jesus, and said, you're a good teacher. Listen to what I'm saying and tell me, how does these two fit? You're a good teacher. We know you're good because you do a lot of miracles. Jesus said, you must be born again. How does that make sense? You're a good teacher. Oh, I'm born again. What are you talking about? If I'm trying to understand that through my mind, it doesn't make sense. But what happened? Jesus heard the words and the question in his spirit. And he answered him according to his spirit. That is what I say. We listen to answer. We don't listen to understand. So when somebody talks to you, you already got all these answers in your mind. And you don't hear the heart. Why? Because we don't listen from there. We listen from there. And that is why you and another person will keep on fighting and you don't hear each other. Because I'm fighting from out of my spiritual pain. You're fighting from out of your spiritual pain, but we try to understand it with our minds. And it doesn't make sense. Just stand still and listen for a second. Just 2 seconds longer. And perhaps you will hear something there that will resolve this fighting. Why? Because the word is in your mouth and in your heart. Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So what you are saying is what you believe. Now, there's people that really train very well to think positive. How can you know what somebody is really thinking? Just walk up behind them and just say, whoa. Then you will hear what's in their minds. That is the word that's in their heart and in their minds. And the reaction afterwards, if they cannot get over it, that is what's in their spirits. See, we need to get through to our spirit to understand that. Why? Because God made us spirit. But the war actually started in the spirit. So if our spirits are out of tune, we cannot fight the spiritual warfare without backlashes. Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. Now, I'm using the Tree of Life translation because that's the most accurate translation from out of the Greek and the Hebrew. There is more accurate ones, but then I can't read all the words. But this one I can actually read. And war broke out in heaven. Where did the war start? In the heavens, in the spirit. So if your spirit is out of tune, how will you know what is the war that they are fighting in the spirit now? See, if we are still stuck at 10 weeks back and the war changed up there, how can we fight this war? We're totally out of season because that war has moved on. And we're still stuck at the first one, so we can have all the casualties there and we have to help them to stand up. And then we wonder, but why can't I move forward? Because you're not in tune in your spirit with the sound of God. So the war started in the heavenlies. Let me mess with your theology. And I don't have all the scriptures here, but I can prove it. God made the earth. Satan was dropped to the earth. He messed everything up and God recreated it. And then man was placed on the earth. I'm going to repeat that. The earth was created without man. Satan started the war. God kicked him out of heaven. He fell on the earth. He messed everything up. God came. He hovered over the darkness of the sea and said, I'm going to recreate everything. That is what happens between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. There's scripture to prove it. So the war started in the heavenlies. It started in the spirit. So if your spirit is out of tune, how can you do spiritual warfare? Otherwise, you're just doing warfare to say, okay, kick my butt. Why? Because your spirit is not in tune. And often our spirits are more in tune with what people are discerning than what God is saying. Do you know how many times I was in a prayer meeting that God said to me, what they're fighting is different. It's their knowledge. They're not fighting in that moment. I was in one service. I was part of a group of three people, and I was just there as an intercessor, and these two people were just doing all the services. And I just sat back. And that morning I woke up and God said, you're going to have to minister today. And I thought, God, if you want me to minister, I'm up in South Africa, I'm on a tour, I'm under these people's covering, tell them. That whole day, nothing happened. During that service, the one person went up and spoke. Nothing happened. It was like you were talking to stone. And she sat down and she said, after she gave the sermon of an hour, she said to us, the other person to me, who of you is supposed to be up there? For the first time she was listening. Up till then, she was functioning just on knowledge. And I just stayed quiet for a minute. And I said, I have to go to the front. And as I stepped up and my first words were spoken, the first two rows just flew backwards. Because it was a word in season. Chaos broke out that evening. But so many people were delivered. People actually stepped from out of the streets. They came up and were delivered like that. Why? Because it was a word in season. Because it was spoken into my spirit. What is the word for this season, for your circumstances? The war started in the spirit, in the heavenlies. So what do we have to do? We don't fight from out of an earthly position. We have to get into the throne room of God where we have been saved. We're sitting with God in heavenly places and we have to command from there. As you go into the heavenlies, you will be fed from the table of the king and you will be strengthened for that season to speak that word. But if you stay on earth, you are actually eating the word of the past and you've got no strength for the war that's going on now. Do you understand why are we struggling? I was in one of the other countries and I was struggling for about 5-6 years to open a hospital that was built by Christians. And God said to me, before I went, we have to go and pray there. And I'm a missionary, went out and pray. And all of a sudden God gave me a vision. And I said, what happened here? Because she had got a good history. And she said to me, Renee, this and this and this happened. I said to her, we have to take hold of that. We prayed that in, the word from God in that season, 2 weeks later, they opened that hospital. All of a sudden, a word in that season, it's the moment you get out of your knowledge and you say, okay, God, I want to hear your heart. You move into glory, into the throne room, and you start to eat from this food for this season. You will speak the word of victory because the war started in the heavens, in the spirit. So what is it that Satan is still using to trick us today? And we're going to go back. We're in the last book of the Bible. We're going to go back to the first one. Genesis 3:1. Satan is still using his same old tricks. Why? Because it always works. It always works. Now you must be careful and you must hear my heart now. You are spirit. When Adam and Eve were created, their spirit beings were clothing their bodies. So they were spiritually covered. So they didn't see each other's nakedness. They had no judgment. They were okay with where they are. What's so interesting, Adam and Eve was working with God. They were working with God because Adam gave the animals a name according to their character. Adam was naming the animals according to their character. Not according to, oh, you're a lovely little thing. He saw the character that God has placed inside of that animal. He named that animal to call that character out of that animal. So if you are in line with God and you speak a word, you will speak into somebody's character and you will strengthen their character to come forward to step out. So their character will flow and be set in God. If you function out of the Spirit. So Satan came and he didn't say to Eve, listen, there's the fruit, just eat of it. No. Satan is a spirit being and he knows that you are spirit. So what was the first Satan did? He spoke to her spirit to spirit. Did God say? He just put a question mark into her spirit. So we often say, renew your mind, and we're trying to work with this, but we don't allow that to come into our spirit so that our spirit can be renewed. The words that Satan spoke to her is the five pillars of the New Age. And the moment Eve accepted the words in her spirit, now the woman saw that the tree was good. The moment her spirit accepted the words, her eyes dropped from spiritual things to earthly things. And she saw that the tree was good. What did she do? She stretched forth and she took hold of it. Nothing happened. It only happened, sin only entered when she took off that fruit and it became part of her. What happens today? Satan will come and he will throw something to you, at you. The moment your spirit takes hold of it, you will start to see that thing. And the moment you start to look at that, what happens? You start to think about it. And the moment it's in your mind, it's part of you. Then you've taken hold of the fruit. Now the circumstances are controlling you. Now we're trying to do mind renewal. So we're trying to get rid of the circumstances, try to change our minds, but we're not always changing the word that was spoken inside of your spirit. Your victory is there when you start to allow God to change the word that you accepted in your spirit. Then you will not look at the circumstances anymore. Because then you will see it from God's perspective and not from an earthly perspective. Then you will not fight. And from an earthly perspective, you will see God's love and you will say, stop it, and it will stop. A man was praying for his family for months to get saved. For months. Nothing happened. And he got frustrated with God and said, God, why is nothing happening? And God says, because you're not seeing what I'm seeing. He says, what do you mean, God? He says, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. He says, okay, God, what would I do? And he started to worship God in fullness. He didn't fight against the situation. He started to worship God. Within 2 weeks, one day he was just grabbed into the heavenlies. And he saw God's heart. And when he looked down, he saw what was actually covering the whole of his family. And from out of God's heart, he gave one command. And within 2 or 4 weeks, his whole family was saved. But for months, he was doing spiritual warfare. Because what you see from the ground is the fruit. You don't see from God's heart the victory. See, we're fighting from a position towards victory instead of from victory towards command. Why? Because we listen with our spirits to words that grabbed you in there and you cannot get away from it. And then you stretch forth your hand and grab hold of the circumstances. And people often tell me, how can I change these things? You cannot change it unless God gives you a word in your spirit to change that. So what are you holding in your hand? What is in your hands that you cannot get rid of? You are holding onto it because something was spoken into your spirit that you're still struggling with. And if it doesn't change in your spirit, you will struggle to let go of this. That is why a drug addict will keep on going back and back and back to the same thing. Why? Because his spirit needs healing. There's trauma in his spirit. And before you're not going to get through to his spirit, it will be a constant battle for that person. So what do we do when we're in trouble? What do we do if we stretch forth our hand to grab hold of that fruit and make that fruit part of us? People, the most dangerous thing is the moment you start to think about it. Because the moment you start to think about it, it means already your spirit is hurt. It was the moment they start to eat of that fruit, not when they touched it. It's only when they eat it. It's the moment you start to think about it, it becomes part of your whole nervous system. And it just makes you lame. And then you try to fight from a lame position and say, God, what now? When your heart is in line with the sound of God, you will have victory. So what is the natural thing that we do as a Christian? What is the good thing? It says in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, and this is a good thing, but listen very carefully what it says, because we often quote scriptures just the first part. When my people, over whom my name is called, that means for those that accepted God, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. You have to humble, seek God, and turn away. You have to let go. Now, what's very interesting, Adam and Eve turned away from God and they hid themselves. What did they use to cover themselves? Fig leaves. Itchy leaves. Who have you ever touched a fig leaf? Itchy leaf. Where did they cover themselves? Is that a place of masturbation? See, we're still trying to cover ourselves. The moment you start with pornographic material and masturbation, you're trying to cover yourself with somebody else's spirit because your spirit is in pain. That is why you have to turn away from the evil ways, because when God said to them, listen, I have to take you out of the garden, it was not because they did it wrong, it's to save them. But he said, before you leave this garden, I'm going to clothe you. Today, if you get saved, there's a choice if you want to be baptized or not. Genesis 3 says, before you go back into the world, I'm going to clothe you. You start to make a decision today if you want to be clothed. Genesis 3, start the baptism. We're clothed today. That's one of the principles. God never wrote anything with no reason. Then I will hear. So it's only when you humble yourself, you pray, you seek His face. You don't seek how to do warfare. He says, seek my face. People, when you look at somebody and you seek somebody else's face, you have to look away from that person and up. So what happens? Immediately your spirit will go up. That's why I say, seek my face, and then you will turn from your evil ways. Why? Because you will follow God's direction, and that thing will not make any sense to you anymore. Can you see what it really says? Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So we call and we pray and we force God and we do all these warfare. But did you really lift up your face to God and say, okay, God, I will follow you no matter what is happening there? He says, then I will hear. Why? Because you will be able to hear God's heart and voice, because that will vibrate in your spirit. And then there will be changes. Now, the next two scriptures, I'm going to get a lot of resistance from you guys. But that's okay, because I'm living this, what I'm going to teach you now. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. God says, I searched for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. God was looking for somebody, and he couldn't find anyone. Can I stand in the gap? Yes, I can, if you're willing to take backlashes. Why do I say that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ did everything perfectly on the cross? If Jesus did everything perfectly on the cross, why is he still then looking for somebody to stand in the gap? That means that it wasn't a perfect dropping that he did on the cross. If you believe it was a perfect thing that Jesus did on the cross, you won't need to stand in the gap. Isaiah 59:16, it says the same thing. He, God, saw that there was no one. He was astonished that no one was interceding. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. God himself interceded according to his promise that he made in Genesis 3. And Jesus did a perfect job on the cross. That is why he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. Because we believe we have to stand in the gap. No. Jesus stood in that gap. And he did a perfect work. Why do I say that? I want to give you the other scripture also. There's another scripture. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was amazed, but no one was assisting. So my own arm won the victory for me, and my wrath upheld me. See, Jesus did it himself. If God couldn't find somebody to stand in the gap, and he had to do it himself, who am I to say, God, I'm on the same level as what you are, so I can stand in the gap? I'm going to show you how you can, but there's a certain condition that you have to follow. But it's not for me just to say, I'm going to stand in the gap. It's again, I have to seek his face. Ephesians 1:20 says, this power he exercised in the Messiah that is in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So there was a power that's been released the moment Jesus was resurrected. But that power that's been released when Jesus was rose from the dead is the same power that entered you. And it's the same power that happened with the disciples in Acts 2. Because he said, go and wait until you've been touched with power, not with authority. So as you wait and you seek God's face, you will receive power to rise up with Christ. And it's only when you have the power and you're in Christ that you can stand in the gap. Because then you are in Christ. That same power, Jesus himself said the following. And this is a scripture that we all know. John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things. Do you believe what Jesus says? Yes and amen. Do you really believe that? Just like my vision. This is what Jesus said. That is the last teaching. This is the last teaching Jesus gave to his disciples. I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. He said, I've given you the word that makes you holy. He prayed that over you in John 17. He says, God, I gave them your word so that they are holy as I am holy. So if you've got the perfect peace and confidence and the word is inside of you, the word vibrates in you according to God's breath, you've got perfect peace. Then you are holy. In the world, He says you've got three things. Tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. He says that is what you have on this earth. See, so your body and your soul is going to experience these things. He didn't say it's going to be easy. I don't know where the gospel comes from that the moment you say it's going to be an easy road. I've never read that gospel. Somebody needs to give me that Bible. But be of good cheer. He says, even though you're in tribulation, be of good cheer. Is it easy to hear your child cry for food and still be joyful? There was a missionary couple. They were working on the street, and this one couple always comes in. The moment the food is on the table, these people will knock on the door. And this one day, they only had food, a little bit for the family. And these people were knocking on the door. And the dad said, okay, come in, you can join us. And his whole family looked at him and said, are you crazy? He says, no, let's just pray. And he prayed and he just blessed the food. And he said, amen. And the guest, the wife, says, I'm not going to eat this. You've come for dinner, but why don't you want to eat? She says, no, while you're praying, something happened with that food. I'm not eating witchcraft food. While he was blessing the food, God was multiplying the food in the bowl. She refused to eat it. Bill Johnson was also telling us about something in Mozambique, that they were distributing the food boxes. That they had enough for the people, and the word just spread. And they realized, but we don't have enough food. And they just said, we're going to start to just give it out. The first package they emptied, hey, but the other two they couldn't empty. With the first bunch, they emptied everything. And then as they distributed the next packet of food, it stayed half. It never emptied, the two packages. When they were finished, they still had two bags of half food. And there were more people than what they planned for. See, stay cheerful. If you are in line with God's word in your spirit, something will happen in the physical. He says, be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. How many times have you quoted that? God has overcome the world. What it really means in the Amplified, it says, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. So whatever comes against you will not harm you as long as you stay in God's power. But if you start to function in your own power and in the world's power, it can harm you. But God says, I have deprived it. He didn't say that the power is not going to come against you. He says, but the destruction I've taken from it. So it's going to come against you. No matter what you're doing, it's going to come. But it cannot harm you. It's the moment you start to believe that it's going to harm you, that you start to eat from that fruit and it becomes part of you, then you will have the harmful effect. So what do we do? Ephesians 2 verse 10, 9 and 10. It is not based on deeds. That's not what you can do. So that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. People, you've got the handprint of God in your life. Because God used his hands to form man. So there's a handprint of God in your life. And you have to find that because that is your purpose. You're created in Messiah Yeshua Christ Jesus for good deeds. So each one of you have something to do that will have a good effect. Even if you think you're bad, God has placed something inside of you that is good. And that's his breath. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so we might walk in him. So each person is created in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, where's your circumstances? Your circumstances is also in Christ. So why are you fighting against your circumstances if it's in Christ? See, it's because we're fighting with the circumstances that we get intertwined with the circumstances, and God cannot step on the circumstances. Stop fighting with your circumstances and turn your face to God so that God can step on your circumstances. Your circumstances is where you are. Because that is your thought. That is what you've eaten. You are in Christ Jesus. Now I want to come back to standing in the gap when you pray. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will move where Jesus is. And that means when he stands in the gap, then you are in the gap. Now, I can explain to you very practical. Who of you have ever had babies? Okay, we had a few. Those of you that never had that, let me explain it to you. The baby is inside of you. If you are tired of the baby, let's ask these moms. If you're tired of the baby, can you put the baby down and go on? Why not? Why not? Because that baby is dependent on you. That's the way that you are in Christ. So wherever the mom goes, that is where the baby is. So wherever God is, that is where I am. Now what happens? We get frustrated and we think we're mature and we kick and we scream and say, God, you move that side. I'm going to do this side because I can see this and this. And then you wonder why you've got a backlash. Because you're immature in the spirit for that circumstance and you want to get out at 26, 27 weeks and you wonder why you're struggling. If you stay with Christ, you are in him and you move with him. And that is why we do spiritual warfare with backlashes, because we have to stay in the incubator because we want to get out of it and we think we can fight that war. and we're not in line with the breath and the heartbeat of God. We need to come back into that heartbeat. It is so beautiful how often a baby will scream, and the moment the baby is born and the baby scream and they put it on their mom, the baby stops screaming. Because I can smell you, I can hear you, and I can feel you. And if we can come in the spirit that we can smell God, hear his heartbeat and feel him, we will always have victory. So we need to come back to the place that we are in Christ Jesus. And the moment you're in Christ Jesus, Colossians says, we will have the focus on God and we will have the right word to speak in our circumstances. Then we won't have backlashes. Because try to kick a mom in the stomach when she's pregnant. What is the natural inclination of that mom? She protects. And you will fight like a tiger. And that's exactly what God will do with you. If you are in Christ, he will give you the words. He will give you the feeding. He will give you the oxygen. If you understand the power of the blood, Jesus made 7 splatters of blood on his way to the cross. And for each splatter of blood, there is salvation for a specific area in your life. We need to come to that place that we say, God, I want to be so much in you. And it doesn't matter what my circumstances are. I want to move with you. And if you want to move away from these circumstances, I will move with you away from it. How often will people say to me, Renee, I just hope God will not call me to India or Jakarta or something like that. And I smile. Because their spirit already picked up that word. And they're fighting against their spirit. God doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay there. But it could just mean that you either have to support somebody or do a short-term outreach. But the moment they say, I hope God will not do that, your spirit already picked it up. You're fighting against yourself. Come on. And then you wonder why you're so tired. It's because you fight against yourself. It's your mind against your spirit. Get your focus back on God. And the moment you're back on God, you can conquer anything. But see, we don't know how to get back in God. We don't know what it is to get back in God. This is the way to get back in God. Train your spirit to pray in line with God. He says, Ephesians 4 verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray and the Father will give you the comforter. Verse 17 says, it's the spirit of truth. So the moment you start to pray through your spirit, it's a spirit of truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 8 says, it's the truth that will set you free. So if it's the truth that set you free, then the truth should be in me. That is why Jesus prayed that the spirit of truth will come in me. That is your comforter. Can you read John 14, 16, and 17? So your comforter is your spirit of truth. What is the difference between facts and truth? Facts can be proven on earth. Truth is Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible is true, but not everything in the Bible is truth. When King Saul called up the spirit of Samuel, is that true? It's not truth. So everything in the Bible is true. It really did happen. But it's not truth. It's not to the glory of God. And God said, you will receive the spirit of truth, not only of truth. So when you got the spirit of truth inside of you, that means your heartbeat starts to pray with the heart of God, and he will intercede according to God's will. Now you cannot pray wrong. And your spirit will start to vibrate on God's spirit, and you will function from out of the kingdom realm, not from the earth realm. And as your spirit vibrates with God's heart, you will get the word to speak. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. If you look at the armor of God, Jesus has fulfilled each one of them. The helmet of truth, Jesus Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, Jesus Christ. The belt of power, Jesus Christ. So as you clothe yourself with the armor of God, you are clothing yourself with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Then I'm in Christ Jesus. Then the schemes of the devil will not be able to distract me, so the circumstances cannot control me. And that is where you start. You get your spirit in line with God's word, and the rest will be easy. So understand that your spirit, the war started in the heavenlies, in the spirit, and we need to not align ourselves with the heavenly spirit, but with the godly spirit. So often we submit to the heavenly powers and not to the godly powers.